This is Game On. With your host, Seat Williams.
Game On!
Let's get it cracking. 3 o'clock, standing tall, feeling good here on a Friday. Seat Williams, Ari, he's got the wheels of steel. Plenty to get to today. We're going over to the Westgate Race and Sportsbook. The Senior Vice President, Jay Cornegay, is our special guest. Well, you know what? I got to hit him up. His Broncos, my Chargers, in a pick'em at a StubHub. We got a season bet, but I got to hit him up. I want something free over there at the Westgate. See if I can work that out. Also, dope at the bottom of the hour, so get those lighters ready. We're going to prime time it. Top shelf today, huh? Plenty of other good stuff going on as we take a look. All right, get you started with last night, the baseball game. Half of it's in, baby. East Coast, West Coast. East Coast, West Coast. Dodgers, West Coast already home. Can the Yankees get it done? Look, I'm not trying to knock Astro fans, Astro Nation, whatever you may call yourselves out there. You got a fine team. You rake. You've got some good pitching. You've got a good bullpen. I just want to see the Yankees and Dodgers. I saw it when I was a baby, back in the 70s. Reggie Jackson with three crack of the bats, three swings, three home runs, game over. Series, let's go home. Dramatic. New York, L.A. L.A., New York. I'm not a L.A. guy, but I am a West Coast guy. So I just want to see it. And if the Yankees beat the Dodgers, I'm good with that. You know, I haven't bet anything on a future or anything of that nature, but I just want to see the big boys in the big cities do the big things, some big pitching, solid defense, clutch hitting, managing slots where things work out well. Just want everything to work out now. If the Astros get there, we still have a good make. I got to ask Jay Cornegay when I get him up here in a couple of minutes what would be the better matchup, the bigger matchup, things of that nature. So we'll find out. As the Dodgers went crazy, Hernandez, he's coming up later in dope, and three home runs. You talk about just dooming Wrigley Field. Not a big deal because they got their rings. And I say that, and you say, what do you mean? How many times do teams repeat? They don't anymore. Okay? You say, well, you're watching the association. Yeah, well. How many times has the Dubs won two in a row? They haven't. Are they going to do it this year? I tell you what. If I could find it, or if you find it, you let me know. Dubs against the field, I will take the field. Somebody's going to get them. No one repeats anymore. Not even the New England Patriots, huh? They had their little thing in between. Can they come back and win this year? No. They'll win maybe every other year. And I think the same thing is going to happen with the Dubs. And I don't think in baseball we'll see a dynasty. I don't think we'll ever see a dynasty in baseball again in my lifetime. I just don't. I could be wrong on that, but it just doesn't happen. It's not parity because you have the top-of-the-line teams. You have your marginal teams, and then you have your stinkers, right? What group is your team in? Well, I could tell you my team in baseball is a stinker, the Padres. We're in the bottom of the barrel. But not so much with the Chargers, even though they're now with L.A. and I'm a San Diego guy. I still am a Charger fan. You get to know these guys and the personnel of the players, the people that work with them, the PR people, the front office. You know, I mean, you get to know them. And you root for them, especially if they're from your hometown. And that's what's going on with the San Diego Chargers. That is my team. And that will remain to be my team. Come on. So, it's a situation where in the end, I'm going to root for San Diego, and they're not the bottom of the barrel. So let's go to the football game last night. Stay in that division. The Raiders, I had no idea they were going to come back and win that game. I mean, they're being spanked. Kansas City, I still believe, at this point, despite the loss, I still say they're the best team in football. They've got just badass after badass after badass and running back and receivers from west to hill. I mean, these dudes are just, they got the fastest guy in football on their roster. It makes you wonder, you know, okay, they got two losses. They lost two in a row. Well, that's going to happen. Occasionally, you're not going to win every game. But in the end, the key is this, all right? how you're playing down the stretch. And you look at that division right now. The Raiders, they won their first two games. They lost their next four, only to come back and fight and get that victory last night. Kansas City, I won their first five. And now they lost their last two. Denver, on the other hand, just up and down. You really don't know. I mean, they're right around 500. I mean, 3-3 team. And then the Chargers, they lose their first four games. Two of those games, one for certain should have been a last field goal kick to win the game. So they should be at least 3-3, if not 4-2, but they're 2-4. It's going to pan out. I don't know if anyone in that division gets more than 10 victories. They got to play each other twice, and then they're playing, who is it? They're playing the east of the NFC. So, yeah, that's just a situation where, you know, you look at it and I don't know. That Raider game last night, though, just the way that thing went down the stretch, watching that ball game, I there's no way I thought they were going to actually win that ball game. But down the stretch, the Raiders did win that ball game. And I was just surprised. I didn't think they would win it. But down the stretch, after five tries, they did.
Derek going to roll left. Derek throws for the end zone, and it is caught for a touchdown by Michael Crabtree. The Raiders, and I think this time it counts.
There are no flags.
Knees and down in play in the end zone. Give it to me loud now. Touchdown, Raiders. Snap, hold. Giorgio has it away. Bellissimo! The Raiders win it! 31-30!
Raiders Radio Network. I tell you what, they were sweating that extra point. The dude had already missed two field goals. All right, the game would have been easier if you make your – you do your job, okay? You're a kicker. All you're doing now, you're coming in to replace one of the best kickers in the game, right? Just kick the ball through the uprights. Can you do it? And then the way the game ended was, I mean, you got to be kidding. Not a touchdown. Penalty flag taking away a touchdown. Two penalties on the defense. It makes you wonder what the officials are doing in these huddles, okay? What are the officials talking about in these huddles? Don't you wonder? You're like, you're brainstorming. What is going on? They're standing by talking about this particular play. You know what? You want to know what they talk about? Give a listen.
I'll have the Langoustine lobster ravioli.
For you, sir.
The original call was for Langoustine ravioli. A Langoustine is a tiny kind of lobster. Slight shellfish allergy rules that out. Plus, my wife ordered the Langoustine. I will have chicken tenders and tater tots.
If you're a ref, you way over explain things. It's what you do.
There you have it. They're basically talking about other things away from the game, right? That's what they do. All right.
Sir, we don't have tater tots.
It's what you do.
Oh, boy.
Nachos!
Yeah. They got to get the last piece of the order in. All right. We're going out to the phone lines right now. Joined now by the Senior Vice President at the Westgate Race and Sportsbook, Jay Cornegay. What's up, Jay?
Pete, how are you, bud?
Feeling good, feeling good. We got some business to take care of when we get to football. You know what I'm talking about. Yeah. Let's start with baseball, though. And
okay.
Listen, hey, we're halfway home, baby. Huh? East Coast, West Coast, L.A., New York. Yes!
Oh, I know. To think about all those games that we used to watch, see, like in the 70s and early 80s, it's just, it would be something to see that again. However, I'm still rooting for the Astros.
Okay.
All right. I'm going to be honest with you. I'm still rooting for the Astros. I always kind of, even though they're the fourth largest city in the United States, I've always tried to root for those mid-major level type of teams.
All right. Let's look at the hook as far as the public, the sharps, the futures from the Astros, Yankees, Dodgers. Futures, which team could do most damage?
Well, right now the Dodgers. So I'm hoping that they don't get to the World Series.
A little late, my friend.
Am I? Okay. Yeah, I know.
It's just in.
I know. I was like, oh. No, actually, I was rooting for the Dodgers and against the Cubs as a fan. But as a bookmaker, we certainly needed the Cubs to get there. But that's all right. It's we're still in a pretty good spot. None of the teams left are going to hurt us. Our best-case scenario right now are the Astros, and that's the main reason why I'm rooting for Houston.
Now, OGs like you and myself, we get it. We understand 40 years ago, the Reggie Jackson three crack of the bats a couple of days back when three swings, three different pitchers, three home runs, Yankees win the World Series. Yankees win the World Series back then. But we're talking some 40 years ago, Dodgers, Yankees. I mean, my God, most of our listeners weren't even born. This is huge.
It's crazy to think that. It's like they don't know who Charlie Huff is. I'm like, oh, he's the one that gave that up. But, I was probably in, middle school, high school range, right around there, depending on which part of the 70s we're talking about. But always really enjoyed those games. And my father used to always root for the Yankees all the time. And it just bugged the crap out of me, right?
Yeah.
And so still resonates today. But the Dodgers got their moments in there. But I was a big, that whole infield that they had, whether it's, Say, Russell, Lopes, Garvey, and all those guys, they were just there forever. And not to mention back in those days, that this was before, Major League Baseball extra innings, okay? We didn't have, the rec TV like we did today. So we only got to see maybe the game of the week, and a lot of times it would be the Yankees or the Dodgers.
Jay Cornegay, he is the vice president at the Westgate Race and Sportsbook. Now let's go to tonight's game. Yankees still have their work cut out for them, so do the Astros. Tell us about the matchups, which way the Sharps and the public play in the game.
Yeah, right now we're Houston's $1.47, 7.5 under. A majority of the tickets have been on, the majority of the money has been on the Astros. We have a few more tickets on the Yankees, so it's been really a very level game. However, the market really has moved up. We opened the Astros $1.25, and like I said, we're up to $1.47 now. But some of that was because of the bigger money that we've seen on Houston, and the whole market has kind of moved up. I mean, obviously it's a must-win situation, so I can understand why you see so much support on the Astros. But again, a lot more tickets on the Yankees at this time.
Extremely fun, very suspenseful. We'll see, because we know by Tuesday we'll have the team with the pennant on the other side to face the Dodgers. It should be fun.
It's going to be great. I mean, outside last night, these games have been, just really intense and just hanging on the edge. And I can only imagine if it's one of your teams or your team being in there. And it's quite suspenseful, and I certainly enjoy them. The only good thing about last night was that we were able to focus on football because the baseball game was such a blowout.
Wow. And let's go to that. I mean, last night so many things happened. You've got Marshawn Lynch made his fastest running play on the field in a non-play, okay? Went out to protect his cousin Peters, his dude he's mentoring. Then he gets chased because he grabbed a ref. We got five different plays on the final play to finally conclude with the Raiders getting it. And then the extra point barely makes it through.
Yeah.
Gee.
He just snuck it in on the right side there, and it was I think that would have been a capper. But I thought for sure when they marked him short, they were going to fail to get it in there, because things just haven't been going the Raiders' way lately, especially over the last few weeks. And to see them overcome that, I mean, that was a heck of a drive by Carr, and you really got to tip your hat towards them. But a lot of funky things. One of the more exciting games that we've seen all year. And it was an isolated game, so many eyes were on it, and that's what made it so great.
Jay Cornegay of the Westgate here on the show. Let's go to Week 7. Look at the board Sunday, the early games. Anything stick out in the early games? I know Cincinnati finally getting in the win column. The Steelers seems like they have some locker room issues. Steelers like 5.5 or so, 41. We'll start there, and I'll let you work the board on some of these other ones early.
Well, we've seen, obviously the big swing came when Rodgers got hurt. We had that game up at 6.5, Packers being the home favorite with Rodgers, and then that injury took place last Sunday, and the next thing you know, the Saints are favored by 4, 4.5. We're currently at 4, but there are some 4.5s out there, so that's 11-point swing right now with Rodgers being out. And I always tell everybody, you know, everybody always wants to know how much, you know, a certain quarterback or a certain player is, and that's as big as it gets right there. People talk about Brady, and we've also had that with discussion with Garoppolo, but then all of a sudden Garoppolo comes in and does okay, and shrunk, you know, the following week. So it really depends on the quality of the backup. I'm not sure what we'll see from Hundley, but we didn't see a lot when he came in and relieved Rodgers, but we'll see what he does against the Saints. And he's very fortunate that this game is at home and not in the Dome in New Orleans.
Right. I'll bunch a couple of these together. Of course, the Ravens and Vikings had their highlights, struggled elsewhere. Jets getting a lot of respect. Only a field goal underdog at Dallas, and in Tampa, it looks like the quarterback Winston is going to play. We'll see against the Bills, a team that's kind of like an upstart team also.
Yeah, that's an interesting matchup. Winston's going to play. It looks like he's going to play. I definitely track that if you're going to play that game. But, the Buccaneers get a lot of respect. I'm surprised that even though Winston's going to play, that the Bills, that's such a tough place to go up there and play, that are only a field goal there. And especially if Winston, I mean, he's going to play, but he's obviously not 100%, and that's his shoulder on top of that. So I think he'd be very limited there. I would expect that game to go up. But the other game that you said, the Jets, you're exactly right. See, the Jets are getting a lot of respect here. I'm really surprised that this game is only 3 minus $1.20 at places. The Jets are, you know, they have a couple of banged up players, but, I just don't see that type of respect. We open at 4.5, and the next thing you know, it's down to 3 minus 20. It just seems too low to me. But the other, we had a couple others that actually moved pretty good. The Cowboys went from 4.5 to 6, and that was first. It was a sharp play, and the rest has just been market kind of moving up there. And then, of course, another big adjustment was when we had Seattle 7.5 before the Giants went into Denver, you know, beat up the Broncos, and now we're only looking at 4.5 on that game.
A couple of other games we'll look at here as well. You've got Chicago, who sneaks in a couple of victories. They're 3.5-point dogs at home with a 41 to Carolina. It's kind of been Jekyll and Hyde there. And then the Saints, with their move – and Peterson is saying, thank you, let me go to Arizona. They're 4-point favorites on the road with a 49.5 at the Packers with their backup quarterback.
Yeah, that's total still right up there. Chicago and Carolina, I keep expecting the Panthers to really kind of fall apart for some reason. I just don't feel like they're all on the same page out there, but they continue to, you know, Cam's made some great plays and got, because he didn't look that great at the beginning of the season. He kept on missing all these receivers, but then they got some players back and they got healthy a little bit. And again, you're looking at this spread and Chicago. I know they made the change at quarterback, but he didn't look that great. I mean, he really didn't. They got the win, but I expect this is a game I probably would even think about playing, because there's just too many variables going on. But if you look at the overall season seat, look at how many upsets we've had. I mean, last week we had two healthy double-digit favorites go down, and we had a few others that were right up there at 9.5-point favorite that went down. And now we're looking at the biggest spread on the board this week is 6, and that includes Dallas giving 6 to San Francisco, like I mentioned earlier. That's a game that I could see really actually a lot of points in that game. I'm not sure if Dallas will cover, but I do expect that to be a high-scoring affair.
A couple of other games in the morning for us here at 10 o'clock. You've got the Rams, a team that fights. I mean, let's face it, there's no quit in this team. Adrian Peterson in Arizona, that 3.5, the home team in 41. I'm checking to see if you're going to have any props up on AP. And then the Niners looking for their victory. They do play Dallas. I think earlier I said the Jets. I meant to say Jets in Miami. I said the Jets in Dallas, but it was the Jets in Miami. But in this matchup, you've got the Cowboys on the road. That's the biggest number on the board, isn't it?
It is, along with the Titans giving six to the Browns in Cleveland. Those are the two six-point spreads that we have this week, which are the biggest ones on the board. As far as the Arizona Rams game, remember that one is taking place in London. Okay, that is a neutral site, and that one is still scheduled to go at 10 o'clock. It's not that early start. We'll have that in week 8, but this week they're playing in London, but it's a later start, 10 o'clock normal start, but it is a neutral field, and the Rams are given 3.5. I mean, we don't have any props on AP, I mean, but you got to just give him props, right? He's just that was an incredible performance. Wow. And I'm gonna say that once they get that running game going a little bit, you know, that they've been missing all year because of David Johnson not being there, but if they get a little bit of a running game, I'm telling you, well, look out for these Cardinals. I mean, they do have the pieces. You know, Carson Palmer, he gets a balanced offense. That's a team that can make a little bit of a run. But we'll see. I'm a little surprised that they're getting. And I agree with you. The Rams don't give up. They're a lot better than what most people think. But I do think this is going to be a very close game, especially on a neutral field. And the Cardinals are getting 3.5 at this spot.
Yeah, no, I'm still here.
Oh, okay.
Okay, I'm sorry about that. No, the Giants and Seattle are two teams I will not bet. Seattle 5-40 at the Giants. I would not touch either team.
Well, yeah, this is, I mean, an interesting game just because of the way the Giants played last week. I mean, they were actually playing. They were playing halfway decent ball going into the Denver game, even though they didn't have any wins. They really played well. And Denver, but like I said, it didn't totally come out of nowhere because they just didn't get the wins the last couple weeks prior to that Denver game. But Seattle coming off the bye week, I mean, this game, like I said, before the Denver game, the Giants were getting 7.5 points. Now it's down to 4.5. Again, I mean, just the way the NFL is going, it's hard to give points in any game, and I certainly wouldn't want to do it in this game.
All right, Jay Cornegay, Westgate. He is the senior vice president at the Racing Sportsbook there. All right, my brother, you being a Bronco fan, me being a Charger fan, you want to go? Huh? You want to go, dog? Look, hey, I know you got the food court there. I mean, what type of – do you have a Nathan's? What type of hot dog place do you have in there? Let's do a double dog bet on this one. Come on, baby. It's a pick 'em.
I know. It's a pick 'em. I can't believe it. Everybody in Denver is, like, freaking out. See, it's like, how could that be a swing like that? I was like, well, first of all, before the Broncos lost to the Giants, Denver was only 1.5, 2-point favorite here, you know, in this spot. I mean, it was, and then all of a sudden it's like, how could the Chargers be favored? Well, I'm telling you, Denver looked awful. And I'm going to tell you that, you know, the talk I hear is that Denver's just, I mean, it's not just a bad performance. They're just not as good as a lot of people think, you know. And this is only their second road game of the year. They already lost their first one when they went to Buffalo. So they've had a very favorable schedule in the early part of the season with all their games being at home except for one. And so you got to think that this is going to be a very close game. But I will go. I will go. And whatever you want,
uh-oh,
we'll do. Yes, we will. It's a pick 'em. All
it's
right?
A pick. It's a double dog bet. All right?
Okay.
Two hot dogs. Yes! Oh, I can't wait. I love winning bets. Oh, man, that's fun. It's good to have a little action on the side, right?
Sure.
All right, this right here, I don't know about Atlanta. It seems like a Super Bowl hangover. However, there has to be something going on that we don't see in their locker room because they just don't seem to get it. Look, you were in the Super Bowl last year. What's going on? Even though New England should be the favorite here at 3-56, do you think Atlanta's going to show up and compete again in this one?
I don't know. Have you ever been hungover before? I have.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It doesn't feel too good. Okay. So I can only imagine what the Falcons are feeling. And I think that hangover thing is for real. Okay. Not just this year, but every year. So when the Falcons, are struggling like that, it doesn't really surprise me. But they have a new offensive coordinator. They seem not to be running the ball hardly at all. So they're true one-dimensional. And Julio Jones hasn't scored a touchdown yet, despite them trying to throw it around a bit. They just seem – they're just not together. They're just not – and it's amazing because they're really outside the coordinator, which I know is the director of the offense. I mean, but, you know, Matt Ryan's been around for a long time. I mean, he should be able to overcome, you know, these issues, and they just haven't been able to do it. Yet, this line continues to drop. You know, we're still seeing, you know, Falcons money. I mean, we open at 4, and it's slowly dropped to 3.5. I don't see 3.5 anymore. I see New England -3, -20 across the board.
Wow. Okay, that'll be a good game for Sunday night. Then Monday night, the Skins and Eagles. Are the Philadelphia Eagles for real? And tell me about their futures, and is the public starting to fly with the birds here?
Well, the it's really been a slow process for some reason why we haven't really labeled Philadelphia a true public team yet. And I don't understand it, because usually when you have the best record in the league, you're getting a lot of support. But, you know, we might see that Monday. It might change. I guarantee you if they beat up on the Redskins, then it will certainly be a public team. But this is a game that, you know, the Eagles were a 6.5-point favorite. We have seen some sharper play come in on the Redskins, which drove it down to 5. But the total's holding at 49. I believe this is a rematch of week one. I would have to say that the Eagles are definitely for real. Their defense is a little underrated. Wentz is, I think he's a budding star. I'm just a little upset. I really believed that he was going to have a good year, and I did not draft him in my fantasy league. And you know, is at that time you're thinking that he could be a backup, and I think someone took him and had the same thoughts that I did at the beginning of the season. But he is truly a gifted quarterback, and I think he's going to be a star in this league. So it's just giving points in this league seat is just so tough to do, especially in a divisional rivalry. This is going to be, I think, a very close game.
I agree.
But I do believe the Eagles are for real, yes.
Yeah, and the coaches know each other. The players know each other. You play twice a year. Sometimes you're even in the same training camp before the season. Let's look at the two games tonight quickly, and then maybe two games on Saturday. In the Mountain West, Air Force 7-66 at Reno. And Colorado State 8-59.5 at New Mexico.
Yeah, Air Force and Nevada. Nevada's been struggling, but they got a solid win. And I'm going to tell you that Nevada's very young. I mean, the new coach came in there, and I can't think of his name right now, but he came in there and he told everybody that he's going to be starting, you know, most of his guys, the younger guys, a lot of freshmen, a lot of sophomores that he brought in. And that's why they struggled, for the most part of the season until recently. They've started to show some life. Air Force, they've had an up and down season. There's been a couple of games where you thought they were just looking really good, and other times they haven't looked so great. But again, with just the way the Nevada team has played over the last couple of weeks, I would certainly look at that home dog. As far as my alma mater, Colorado State, I can't believe. I mean, the power rankings are through the roof on this team. They really are playing well. They're very, very physical, and they have. I mean, been doing pretty well. Now I know that they barely got by Nevada last week, but it was certainly it was homecoming, and very easily could have been distractions or whatever. But outside that game, which they still won. You know, they've been performing, above expectations. I just can't believe they're given 8.5, because I can tell you New Mexico can run the ball, and they can run it right down your throat. And one of the weaknesses that Colorado State has is their defense. So that game right now is 8.5, some nines now, with the total moving up. It's already moved up a point and a half today, up to 61.
Jay, final three games on Saturday, Michigan, Penn State, Shaq Barkley, probably the most fascinating player in college football, not getting much play in the conversation of the Heisman, but he probably will down the stretch. The Nittany Lions 9.5-43. The Rebels homecoming 4-60.5 against Utah State, and then Southern Cal and Notre Dame 4-65. Dame at home.
Yeah, it's like I was a little disappointed to see that the USC Notre Dame and Penn State Michigan game being played at the exact same time. I was like, thanks a lot for that one. But I think Michigan's a little overrated. You know, it's not the same Michigan teams that we've seen before. They're struggling. Not a lot of punch to them. And, you know, we're at 9.5 on the Lions, which I'm about to cough. Excuse me. But Penn State is, yeah, a straight 9.5 over the Wolverines there. I got to say, the USC Notre Dame game, I was talking to my good friend Ken Thompson, and, you know, he's a big USC fan and certainly brought up some valid points. USC, I mean, just played a huge physical game against Utah. You know, it was a struggle. It was just really a brawl in that game. And now they got to travel all the way across to Notre Dame, and I believe that they're missing, or at least one defensive lineman and one guy that's questionable. And Notre Dame has a very capable rushing attack, and I think that that's something that's going to play in Notre Dame's favor.
Rebels,
let's see here.
4 and 60.5, yep.
Yeah.
Big homecoming.
3.5, 16.5. Certainly there's some fours out there. This is a game the Rebels really need to win. I mean, these are games that, you know, you're playing against the same type of level of competition, you know, maybe even a step below, you know, your level, and you have to win these games. This is a game that the Rebels will need to win if they have any shot of progressing and possibly being in bowl contention at the end of the year.
Tell us about the theater, the Westgate on Sundays, free to get in, and all the games are up on the big screens.
Yeah, the you know, we brought Football Central back, as you know, Seat, and that's our football party in the International Theater here at the Westgate, and it's doors open at 9 o'clock. It's free admission. We have 11 giant HD screens in there, food and drink specials, 1,500 seats. The thing is that we all know that if we try to go to a sports book on Sunday, including ours, I mean, standing room only, it's a great atmosphere, but this is a great alternative as well, because you can always pretty much guarantee yourself a seat in there. So when you have three or four of your buddies and you want to come and watch Sunday football in Las Vegas, you know, think of Football Central at the Westgate, because it's a great option.
No two ways about it. Best place probably in the whole country to watch a game. There's no two ways about it. I mean, yeah. The prices of the food and the beverages are very, very reasonable. You've got the big screens. Every game is up. Sound up on the key game. You could bet right there as you step out. You don't have to go way back to the sportsbook. Jay, you rock. And, yeah, a double dog bet. Your Broncos, my Chargers, a pick 'em. It's on, baby.
All right, you're on. And don't forget, I know that we had something at the beginning of the season as well. So I'm keeping my eye on that. It's right on my calendar here.
You rock, Jay. Thank you, brother.
All right, see.
Good as always. I know he's not gonna. He's not gonna want to have to pay up, but he will. Yeah, my Chargers will take care of biz. And like I said earlier in the year, they're not gonna win at StubHub. But if they do, this will be the one. All right, we're stepping away. It's 3:33. Lighters up. Dope is next.
Saving for a special occasion.
Looks like a quarter pounder, man. Led Zeppelin.
Hey, be careful with that, man.
Is it heavy stuff, man? Will it blow me away?
It's time now for Man, That Show Is Dope.
3:39 in the valley. Lighters up. Pass it. Some dudes are just knuckleheads, huh? Let's go back to Greensburg, Pennsylvania. A Pennsylvania man has been jailed on charges he sold heroin in the hospital maternity ward where people were there visiting his newborn daughter. 25-year-old Cody Hulse was arraigned today on charges including heroin delivery, endangering the welfare of children. That's what was reported by the Tribune Review. Authorities say Hulse got busted after Greensburg police stopped a vehicle Thursday and found heroin and paraphernalia. The occupants told police Yeah, just bought the drugs from Hulse at the Exela Health Hospital. Police say they went to the maternity room and confronted Hulse, who acknowledged selling the drugs and who had heroin in his pocket. Ah, search me, cops. Police say Hulse's girlfriend, the baby mother, or baby mama is where we should say it, told them she didn't know about the drug deals. Oh, my God. So this one will probably have a comeback on how much time this fool, Mr. Hulse, is going to get. Listen, man, whatever you're going to do, and I get it, if you're a traffic courier, you really don't want the traffic coming through your house, but you got a baby in the hospital with your baby mama, and you're dropping some heroin, you're slinging heroin in the waiting room? This fool, true dope.
Pun intended. I don't understand. I got to ask you this, though, rhetorically, of course. You know, why is there a market in a hospital? That just shows you that really, really, that drugs are a real common problem. Because heroin is not just some drug that, you know, whatever you classify a drug. I'm not talking about weed, but heroin is not something that, you know, people just willy-nilly do. So fact that there is,
oh, you'd
like,
be surprised, it's an epidemic.
Well, I guess,
brother,
I know it is, and I guess that's my point right now, is that you're in a hospital and yet there's actually, you know, I guess what I'm trying to say is I wonder if he's, you know, walking around like, hey man, I got,
well, no,
stuff, or if someone came up,
I think someone knew him and they didn't want to wait, and so he said, well, look, I'm down the street at the hospital, why don't you roll on up, I'll sling right there to you.
Yeah,
and just, then they got popped. So they ratted him out.
Of course, yeah.
Okay, so listen, you we'll work with you if you work with us. Where'd you get it?
Of course.
Hulse over at the hospital, man. His baby's in there with his baby mama. Let's go get him.
Here's his name, address, phone number, his favorite color.
Stupid mofo, man.
That's crazy. Wow. All right. Well, on some a little more fun. So there's a weird denim trend going on in the clothing fashion world. You know, I don't pay that much attention to fashion, but when it involves the female persuasion, sometimes I do. And so the big clothing trend in 2017 apparently was denim, like weird denim. So a Japanese company, I don't know if I pronounce this right, Thibaut, showcased their SS18 collection at Amazon Fashion Week in Tokyo. They sent a model down the catwalk wearing, quote, thong jeans. Obviously, it's radio, so I don't know if you can see the picture seat.
I'm looking at her.
They're basically, I mean, it's hard to describe, but they're jeans that are distressed that not so much is left but a thong. I mean, if you could picture how, you know, there's holes. Started off basic, there's holes in jeans, you know, and then sometimes they have, like, stylish little...
Did you say there's holes in jeans or there's holes in jeans?
Holes.
Oh, I'm sorry.
You know what I mean? Like, the little rip for fashion's sake, you know, whatever that means. So I guess if you could take that in your mind and expand it to the gluteus maximus area. Kendall Jenner was spotted wearing one, so we'll see if this trend catches on. Again, I have really no educated opinion on fashion. It doesn't look very fashionable, but it does look good.
You don't like it? I'm down.
No, I'm being like, generally speaking, all butts aside, yeah, it looks kind of weird. Of course I want to see.
I'm down.
See some thongs, though.
All right, this one right here, I've got a brief story on. Lost the story here because the signal went down. But Irene Sowell. You like high heels?
Of course I do. They,
stilettos?
They do magic for the...
I know. You know, I love me some high heels. I love me some lipstick.
Even though I'm 5'8".
British coat, all that good stuff. Man, well, this lady right here does too. She's also been on Dancing with the Stars, things of that nature, but she badass. Her name, she's in Chattanooga. She set a Guinness World Record in a marathon. Running in stilettos. Okay. She popped the record by 2 minutes. Again, you go up and see her on social media. She's running in these high heels. Everybody else has got sneakers on, you know. They're running. Some people barefoot. This girl's got on some stilettos. And she's switching and running. And she actually set the Guinness World Record in stilettos.
A funny record.
Oh, that is pretty dope.
The actual record that she set is... Miles ran in stilettos.
It's a marathon.
Yeah,
or she ran a marathon.
So I'm saying the record is the fact that she ran it with stilettos, not.
She ran it with stilettos, and she broke the prior record that a girl ran in stilettos.
In stilettos. Okay, yeah.
Yes.
I thought for a second you meant she actually beat someone in sneakers. That would be really amazing. That's crazy.
You always take somebody's good deed and you make it less than it is,
no,
buddy.
No, not at all.
Come on, give the girl some props,
man.
Oh,
that's fantastic. Trust me. I bet it looked really fun too. What was she? So she was wearing like a trainer, you know, like the shorts and the tank top, like a.
She had on her usual stuff, a little lipstick. But yeah, she set the record. That's what matters.
There you go. Well, congratulations to her. This is a good one. You're a fan of Jamie Foxx?
Love Jamie.
Me too. His impersonations in particularly are really funny.
He's good.
Yeah. So I just found this like shortly before. It was a quick thing. He's doing an impersonation of Stephen A. Smith. Which, I mean, that already should make you laugh because it's Stephen A. Smith. Here's a little bit of it. I'll go.
Here we are on the set of All-Star Weekend. I am Cleveland A. Smith. I am the twin brother of Stephen A. Smith. Everyone know he took my style. But ballers are going to ball at all times. Period. All-Star Weekend, the movie.
There you go. It was they did it. Yeah, they did it for First Take. I think it's really dope. First of all, it's funny imitation. He dressed up too.
Did he have the
mustache?
You gotta have that serious look.
Well, he put like a wig with the hairline on and all that. Like it was really good.
Pretty dope.
I felt like that Stephen A. Smith a little bit was teeny bit like
offended,
but for the most part, he was a good sport and rolled with it. It was on First Take, like I said. I just thought that was dope. A quick one.
That's good.
Jamie Foxx is really talented. He can do impersonations. I've seen him play piano, sing, and his acting's pretty good too.
The dance, he could do it
versatile,
all.
Versatile, yeah.
So. If you were looking for somebody who could multitask in the industry and had skill sets in every category, who's more talented than Jamie Foxx?
Yeah, he's up there, definitely.
Because sing, dance, act, personate. I mean, you name it, he can do it.
Yep.
The characters he had back on In Living Color.
Oh, yeah.
Man. He was all that.
Yeah.
All right, and so was this. Enrique Hernandez of the Dodgers. Not one, not two, but three home runs, and he's a native Puerto Rican, and his mom's is still over there. Check him out, and then afterwards in the interview.
Come here, my man!
I don't know. It's awesome. I've never hit three home runs in my life in one game, so to do it in a stage like this, it's amazing, and for everything that's going on back home. You know, to be able to give people in Puerto Rico a little bit to cheer about, it's awesome and it means a lot to me. And, you know, it's hard being here when your mind is over there, your heart's over there.
And that's him referring to his mom's in Puerto Rico. I mean, he said to his mother before the game, who's in Puerto Rico right now, or at least yesterday, "Moms, I'm going yard."
Hernandez with a fly ball to center field. That's well hit. Almora going back to the wall. He leaps and it's gone. A home run. Kike Hernandez, a home run. And the Dodgers take a 2-0 lead. And a high fly ball to right center field. That one is well hit. That one's on its way and gone. A grand slam home run for Kike Hernandez. Taking a page out of the James Loney songbook. Doctor, the Dodgers now lead it 7-0. And a fly ball down the left field line and is high off the ivy wall. In to score is Bellinger, and on his way home with a head first slide is Yasiel Puig as Forsyth doubles off the wall. The Dodgers lead it 9-0.
And then, of course, he hit another home run to make it 11-0, your final score. He went yard three times. Told his mom's back in Puerto Rico, "Moms, I love you. I'm going yard." And he hit three home runs. Congrats. That's the biggest dope I could come up with. Hernandez for the Dodgers, and they're headed to the World Series. All right. Lighters down. Final go round next.
Now back to Game On with Seat Williams.
3:57 in the Valley. Final go round. Brought to you by Reliable Banner at ReliableBanner.com. All right, a lot of football coming up. You got two games in the Mountain West tonight. The Rebels, of course, with their homecoming at Utah against Utah State at a Sam Boyd Stadium. You've got the Trojans doing their thing, and I think this will be a pretty good game against Notre Dame. Notre Dame, a much better defensive team. Trojans, on the other hand, the Pac-12, the snorers now. I mean, who's paying attention? Nobody's taking over. They may not even represent on who's in. I don't think they make it. I really don't. That'll wrap it up for this edition It's Friday edition. Thank God it's Friday, buddy. Ah. Unlike most people out there, most people are going to say, I hate that. I love the wind. Ari's like, huh?
Depends. Is it the wind that gets all on your eyes and the dust and all that?
See,
just a nice breeze?
I don't have that long ponytail these days, so I love the wind, man.
Pictures of this.
I love the wind, dude. Let it blow. Thanks to Jay Cornegay, Westgate. For Ari, he's our producer. I'm Seed Williams. Remember, folk, chin's tucked, low guard's up high. We'll see you on the radio more of the show coming up on Monday. That is NBC Sports Radio 920 The Game. Game on! Game over.